Hey there, this is Heather Davis and Joanna Gerard, and we're here again talking about astrology and all things about the houses. Joanna, I'm so glad you're here with me.
Thanks for allowing me to grace your presence.
Oh, Heather. Of course. Well, you know, it is. So anyway, Joanna is going to share with us about some more houses, because I know that in the last few episodes, we really weren't able to get into all of them, and there were 12 altogether, and we have a lot of questions. So I'd really like to know firsthand, what differentiates the houses before we dive into the third and fourth house? What is the big differences between them?
Well, each house of the zodiac symbolizes a different area of our life, and that's true with everyone. There's 12 houses in the zodiac with, you know, like we talked about last time, the first house being how you look, not necessarily always how you look, but how you come across, and it does color your physical appearance. So does the second, often, and aspects to the first. But I won't get too complicated because I tend to do that. The second house is our money, our finances. The third house is siblings. I think we touched on that, yeah. And neighbors and stuff. And so we go all the way to the 12 houses. So all of us have the same 12 houses. What differentiates a chart from another chart, it's kind of like fingerprints, is, okay, so where is this planet in this house? And that's going to color, and that's what makes our personalities, and that's what makes our lives different. And that's what, you know, when we have a transit, it transits different houses for all of us. Mm-hmm. So we left off on the fourth house, and the fourth house is important for a variety. They're all important, but one of the things about the first house is it's one of our, so the 10th house is a parent, okay, that indicates what a parent is like. That's the one that usually has the most input in your life. And the fourth house is another parent. So it doesn't matter if it's your mom or dad, because everybody's different. Sometimes the 10th house parent is the mom. Traditionally in astrology, they always give the 10th house to the dad, right? Because it was more patriarchal and whatever. So, mm-hmm. You know, but every dads have to work and dads die and things happen with dads. But so the fourth house parent still has such an influence, but they're the parent that is kind of more on behind the scenes, you know, with making you who you are. So I look at the fourth house and I look at the 10th house, and today we're talking about the fourth house, about that parent that maybe was not as in your face in your life, you know, they were still there, but they weren't right out there.
So it would be an influence then. More.
Yeah, it's
so
definitely
an
influence.
Could it be a professor? Could it be a teacher? Could it be
not
someone?
Not really, no, because okay. It's actually your parents. You know, I've seen people with a fourth house, mm-hmm. You know, Saturn, let's say, and maybe the one of the parents died early because Saturn is restrictions and stuff like that, or maybe the parent left. You know, I've seen Uranus there where the parent just up and left, you know. Mm-hmm. Neptune there, I could say, okay, maybe the parent had a problem with substance abuse, or maybe there was some great creative artist and, you know, just wondering, you know what I mean? There's all these different things. Venus there is usually like a very, unless it's afflicted, but you typically just Venus by itself there is a very good, you know, wonderfully charming upbringing where there wasn't too many issues.
Right.
But the fourth house also, when I look at an individual chart, describes not only that one parent, but situations around the beginning and end of our life. And like I said in the last podcast, I don't predict death. I can't. I'm not God. Like, I'm not capable of doing it, even if I wanted to, which I wouldn't anyways. But because I could be wrong, right? But what the fourth house tells us is, okay, when you came into this world, what was your early life like? You know, did you have somebody that, you know, was missing? Did you have this great time? You know, what was it? And I look at the planets there, and it not only describes that parent, but it kind of tells me what the flavor of your early upbringing. And along with that, with some other aspects, it tells me situations around the end of your life.
So if I was an orphan, say, or abandoned, and perhaps maybe eventually adopted or anything like that, when you pulled that, you would see, you could see difficulty or struggle perhaps, and you would, but would that parent that's absent still have the influence of that house? Meaning like, would it be a prevailing thing that's either hindering them or helping them in their memory of?
That is a very good question. And all the questions I've been asked in astrology, mm-hmm. I've never been asked this one. So you would be able to tell. Mm-hmm. A lot of this is psychic, and astrologers aren't psychics, and I always have to clarify this because it's not our job to predict. You know, that's a little bit too much pressure. I did it for 16 years, and, you know, it got too much. But the astrologer's job is to say, okay, this is a timing thing or whatever. This is what was going on because of your natal chart. So when I see something like adoption, a lot of times what I will see is an aspect to Neptune.
Mm.
And what Neptune is confusion. So it's like, who, what happened with the parent? The parent, you know, there was a change. A kid could be adopted and have the best life ever, as we know, right? Yeah. So that's going to influence that too. So I might see, I would see both in that chart. But really, even though there was an aspect to Neptune, the early life is what's in that chart. So, you know, you could, a child could be adopted and have great parents, you know, adopted parents, and I would see Venus there or Jupiter or benefic there, but there would be an aspect to Neptune. And I might be like, okay, what happened to your actual birth parent? I mean, I may not say that because that could be kind of rude, but, you know, I would say in a nice
way,
you know,
kind of just finding out.
Right.
But like, say the orphan came to you and they were adopted, but before they even were cognizant of it, for instance, would you still be able to pull that, meaning they didn't know they were adopted?
Well, there would be, yes, because there would be hard aspects going on with either a malefic, you know, Pluto, you know, or just a Neptune thing or a Mars thing or a Saturn thing or whatever. For whatever reason, that parent could not take that responsibility.
I see.
You know, but then you look at other things in that house, because there's aspects within houses too, and this is where it gets complicated, and I don't have to do that, you know, because I don't want to overwhelm everybody. We can get to that later. But, you know, I can say, but you still had a really good life, or, you know, there's kids that are adopted that don't, and I can see that too, you know what I mean? But there's, if there's malefics or hard aspects or oppositions or squares or whatever. But the important thing is that with astrology, especially over here in the West, you know, like I described before, East and West is very different. You do have the free will, you know, so you can be like, okay, well, this sucked, but yeah, I can make it better. You know, I'm going through a bad transit, but I can make it better.
So that makes a really good point. So in other words, say you're drawing these and it shows the struggle, this shows the uncertainties, and shows the individual going through this period of time. Do the cards that pull out also show roads to recovery as well? So in other words, does it say, well, if you choose this path...
Well, the cards are a totally different gig than astrology. Right? I just created these cards because I'm an astrologer. You know what I mean? And I'm like, okay, this is a tangible way for people who don't want to learn astrology, like I was into it. But if I do when I would do a reading, I would flip some cards, and I'm an astrologer, so to me things resonate with me astrologically, and then other things would flow in. But the actual chart, the natal chart, is a totally different thing, because that's what that person's soul's purpose is here to do, learn stuff like that, you know.
And does the stars as well, as it, like you had spoken about, like, you know, you're pretty much who you are. You're under a certain amount, you know, of influence as far as where you were born, what you were, who raised you. But also, does it point you into directions that are healing as well? Or is it just merely just like when you're an astrologist and you're doing a reading for someone, is it more or less just saying, these are the struggles that you're having? Sorry about that.
Well, both. So that's why I said, like, Western and Eastern. With Western, I mean, the beauty of Western astrology is we're psychologically based. So the East, like I said, is caste system. So if you're born in, you're poor, you know, that's your bad karma. Everything in astrology is essentially based on reincarnation. And I think that's probably something that's really important for people to understand, meaning you chose your life circumstances, you chose your parents, you chose everything good and bad in your life, because your soul wants to learn that lesson.
Right.
But, you know, in the West, I could look at a chart and be like, okay, these are your tendencies, right? Like, you know, your mother could have had a drug problem or whatever, and you might have addictive tendencies, whatever. You can go, addictions are a 12th house thing. They're a Neptune thing. It's either spirituality, creativity, or addictions. We got like three choices there. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Because sometimes people do them all.
You see, I was going to say.
But you know, that's why you see like musicians and artists, and so many of them have so many issues with addictions because they're very Neptunian, creative kind of people.
Right.
And, you know, self-destructive in that way. Now, you can fight it through the spirituality thing. There's a way to fight that stuff. But most human beings, if we don't know about astrology, it just go down the easy path, you know?
So say they have these predisposed dispositions based on when they were born and the astrology, but say their parents or the upbringing or the environment suppressed all of those things that they were given. How does that manifest?
Well, that would be usually a strong Saturn, and that's a good thing. And Saturn gets a bad reputation because Saturn rules delays and limitations. But the truth is, we do need Saturn. You know, Saturn is what makes us get up and be like, "Hey, I'm going to make this happen." You know, it's I'm going to work. I'm going to save this money. I'm going to create this goal. I'm going to, you know, get out here and do a podcast. You know, that's Saturn. So it's you know, it's very important to have a good Saturn, a strong Saturn. So I would say, I just actually told it. You said, what did you even just ask? Because I go on like a tangent.
Well, I was just saying, like, you know, you're, like, we were talking about the charts. Like, you were running my charts and you would say this, this, and this. But I was brought up, say, I was brought up in a very strict Catholic upbringing and had zero, you know, freedom and all of these things. So in other words, I'm not really who I was created or was exposed to. So in other words, how would that play into effect?
Well, there is the chart. So there is the chart. So I've known people who obviously have great parents and they turn out not great. I've known people that have horrible upbringings and they turned out great.
I know some of those.
So the chart is a chart and our choices are a choice. Now in the East, now here it's a different thing because in the East it's like, okay, this is what, so listen, you read these Indians, you know, astrology books, and I have, and I read a lot of them, and it's simply like this. You know, you're born with a Vishaka moon, your third son will have problems with the left eye, you know, we'll have a wife who cannot bear children. Like, it's just so matter of fact, you know?
Right.
Now, but what I do pay attention to in the East is those things called the dashas. I pay attention to both systems, but because we do go through some, and sometimes we are going to go through a hard period.
Will you explain, though, a dasha?
A dasha, it's called the Mahadasha, and it's a time period, and it depends on when we were born. So, you know, I was born in Jupiter, right? So, right now, I went through Mercury, and my Mercury dasha, which is communication, I built a business for 16 years. I have a natal Mercury in the 12th house. My business was related around 12th house stuff. It was in metaphysics, you know?
Yeah.
I did a lot of networking. Now I'm in K2, and I'm on year 4, going into year 5, and it's torture.
No doubt. You see in the future, though, knowing your chart, what do you see ahead of you? Right now?
Well, I'm going into a different Antardarsha because those are broken up. I've been in K2 Rahu, which has been a little bit difficult, and it's known to be difficult for the past year. And I'm going into K2 Jupiter in August, and then K2 Saturn, and then K2 Mercury. But so it gives me a heads up. I mean, I'm not saying it's going to, you know, sometimes it doesn't solve my problems, but it gives me a heads up. I'm like, okay, like right now Mercury's like retrograding, you know, everything else too. Mm-hmm. So it's like, okay, lay low. You don't have to be too out there. Mm-hmm. You know, that's how I use astrology. When I worked professionally as a psychic, one of the reasons I actually stopped was because it was written all over my website. I wasn't God. Like, I'm just, you know, I just sense things, whatever. And I think I told you before, the level of entitlement I got from so many people demanding that I tell them this, and you know, I help them with their lives, and it was so like nauseating at the end after 16 years. I was so burnt out that I was like, never again will I make a prediction.
Well, I can imagine that there's a tremendous amount of burden, whether you actually feel responsible for it or not. I can imagine that everybody feeling that you're responsible for it.
Yeah.
And so
much more. I mean, you know, I was out in the public eye. I was out in California doing shows and stuff. And I mean, I would have people write things about me like, I know, because their boyfriend would like me. And they'd be like, I know she put a spell on him, you know. And I was like, I don't believe in that stupid stuff, but even if I did, wouldn't I put a spell on some like hot, like rich guy?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it was just, they're very entitled and it's all about them. And so to me, what's that saying where you lead, you can teach a man to fish, you can give a man a fish.
Yeah,
and he can eat for a day. And you teach a man to fish, he'll eat for a lifetime. So I'm into teaching everybody how to fish. Like, learn, this is, should be, a, like, I think this is good for everybody to know, to understand we are going to go through bad stuff.
Well, and I think, like you had alluded to, is that it's the preparation. So you're not really beating yourself up. Like, you're not saying, why do I feel so horrible? What's the matter with me? Blah, blah, blah. You realize that there may be, you know, mitigating circumstances to why you may feel this way, and that may help you through a period, right?
And it does.
Because
it
I would imagine some people who get into depressive states or, you know, anxiety, it feel like there's no end. But in looking at the way you look at it, you say, well, there is an end to
exactly.
it. I just need to get through it.
Yeah.
And I mean, I follow the expression, what is it, when you're going through hell, just keep going.
I like that song.
And I've had a couple, you know, things in my life where I've realized that I can't stop. I can't just sit in the corner and suck my thumb. I have to keep going. And and actually, that's probably one of the best things that I could have done, honestly, because it kept me intact. It kept me focused, and I wasn't consumed with my own issues. So in the same token, when you see those things coming, I could see that that would really help you as well.
Well, just the other night, I had really bad, like, burning problems with my stomach, and I was up all night, and I was sleeping, but I was like, you know how you're in between.
Yeah.
And I kept hearing in my sleep, Rahu causes stomach problems. Rahu causes stomach problems. Yeah. And right now, I didn't even I don't even think I'd research that, but I'm in K2 / Rahu and Tardasha for another month, and I look it up the next day, and sure enough, Rahu causes stomach problems, you know? Yeah. So, you know, it's just, it is what it is, and we, and the whole thing with astrology is, it's like, hey, you chose it, so I know we're all complaining, and I complain too sometimes, I'm not gonna lie, but you chose this lesson. Like, we talked before, you chose kids, right?
Right.
I chose not. I went to an astrologer, a very, very good astrologer, and he's like, listen, you don't have any karma with kids. Mm-hmm. And I used to be a teacher, and I was like, thank you, God.
Well, I have a couple if you want to borrow some.
Now, look, I don't have karma with them.
I have a lot of philosophy when it comes to choices, meaning that if I decide not to go to a party, that ultimately meant that I chose to stay home. So in other words, it's not necessarily the things that we choose to do or not do, but it could be the alternate that we've chosen or that we want more than the other.
Right, right.
And I think when you get older, with me, what I've decided is that I really do know what I want, and it's not necessarily built up on what everybody else thinks I need to be,
right,
or my expectation level. But I do think, you know, in the big picture, though, that people's expectations for you, if they're positive, right, they do keep you in check. I mean, just like laws are built, right? Laws are, well, okay.
I have a different theory.
All right,
on this.
But I mean, I think we may agree on the same thing, because you may be broadening this too much by your sigh, your great sigh and disappointment in my,
which is inner anger.
But no. What I'm saying is that, you know, like my mother, for instance, would always want the best for me. She'd always want me to do the best, to be the best person that I am, to be a good mother.
Yeah, but that's because your mom loves you.
Well,
but paying attention to strangers' expectations is trivial.
Well, no. Hey, look, I get that. I'm not saying that. But I'm just saying that sometimes the outer influence is not a bad thing. Just like we think, like, for instance, say there wasn't any laws anywhere.
Right.
People pretty much do what the hell they want, right? They would just go out and they'd speed all the time. They'd run red lights. God forbid, they might hurt somebody, you know? I mean, when you think about it, there are certain checks and balances that are in place that keep you in line, because I think we as human nature can be very evil. Even the best of us could really resort to some really bad things. I mean, I've seen it firsthand with people that profess to be great people or good Christians.
Well, you always got to watch them. If they have to talk about it, profess it, talk about how Christian they are, talk about how religious they are,
right,
talk about how other people are going to burn, because those are the ones you got to watch the most.
Well, and
most good people don't go around doing that. They just live and let live.
Yeah, and that's true. And I'm always skeptical of people who are very charismatic, like people who
like me.
Well, no, I already know you, darling. You're very charismatic. No, what I'm saying is, like, whenever I hear somebody who's really good at talking, I'm always really skeptical, because I don't want to be sucked in by their art, because I think a lot of sociopaths are very articulate.
I find, Sam, we disagree, because I don't find sociopaths to be articulate at all.
Oh, I think
they mimic. I think they mimic what
they
think.
Well, yeah, but I think, fool people. I think they can
maybe
fool
people that aren't intuitive. But what everybody has to do is work on their intuition. That's why, you know, I created oracle cards, astrology oracle cards, because everybody, like I said, teach that man to fish. Teach people how to have their own intuition.
Yeah.
But I find sociopaths to be very, They follow. They mimic what they think they should do.
Yeah. No, that is true. That is the MO. But I'm just saying, a lot of people can get swept up in it. That's why I'm always a little skeptical of it.
Yeah. Well, we should be skeptical of everyone, because the world's a difficult place.
You're not skeptical of me.
No, but I know you.
And you know I'm not very smart. So there's nothing to worry about, right? Yeah. Now listen, we got a minute and a half. So tell me again.
We got to do the fifth house really quick, guys. This is the house of kids. So when I see like your first child, right? I'm gonna look at aspects towards that house, the fifth house. Now I'll go around the chart. If somebody has three kids, four kids, I'll go 5, 7, 9, and I can see all the personality traits of each kid. Or I shouldn't say I can see, because somebody would be like yelping about me. She said she can see. But you know, it gives me a feeling of what's going on with each kid and your relationship with each kid. But the fifth house is also creativity, those of you guys who are in the arts, creative, you know, whatever, if you play music, if you write, or anything like that, anything. And owning a business is a very creative endeavor, too, because you're really creating from nothing. So I kind of put that in there, too. So I look at transits there or aspects there to see, okay, what is their creativity level? Of course, there's more to it. I look at 12th house stuff and everything else. And how are they going to do it this particular... I love astrology because it really helps entrepreneurs, really, because it's like, okay, what do should I do this now or should I wait? You know what I mean? Right. Should I do this new business or
so
should
there would be timing, just like we talked about the doctor, you know, postponing or scheduling his time around surgery. There's also in the movement of your business, you would also want to do
exactly.
it in the right timing.
And that's why so many presidents have had astrologers. And, and Hitler, you know, had an astrologer. And fortunately...
And he ended a great success story.
But at the end, he didn't listen. He didn't listen to the astrologer.
Well, he probably should have stayed off the methadone. But
well,
for the best
he probably just should have never even existed.
Yeah, no,
but
exactly.
The thing is that he, you know, he was, you know, a lot of well-known people. People have astrologers. You guys would be surprised how many people go to psychics. Everybody thinks it's like this foofy.
Well, wasn't Reagan
I've had so many crazy successful people come to me over the years, and I'm like, I'm not gonna remember anything they say, and I wouldn't say it anyways. I wouldn't repeat it just ethically, but I also don't care, you know. It's like once they say it and I'm done, I'm worried about my own life. You know, it's not
totally enjoyed this. Let's do this next episode and we'll continue on with the with all the houses.
With all this stuff.
Well,
all right.
We got some more houses to cover.
We got it's all the way till 12 houses.
Thanks so much, Joanna. Thanks again for listening, guys. We'll see you
next time. Bye.